This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Jonathan Aul.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
Legislation that would reinforce First Amendment rights for student journalists in Missouri received overwhelming support during a House committee hearing this past week. Known as the Walter Cronkite New Voices Act, the bill would require public schools and universities to grant student journalists the same degree of free speech they would a professional journalist. And Jasmine, you deal quite closely with student journalists. So do you run into this sort of problem in Illinois or other places you've been where student journalists get treated differently than professionals?
Oh, sure. It happens all the time. And there have been a number of cases where I've had students come to me and tell me that they were told they couldn't go and cover something or they couldn't videotape somewhere in the public that they definitely could legally. I've had people not want to meet with my student journalists, but it is an issue, and I'm really glad that they're looking at this for student journalists. I've been able to come up with a solution, a partial solution to this issue, and it's media credentials. We've created media credentials this semester, in the last semester, actually, and they are working, and people are taking them a little more seriously now that they have these News 3 media credentials.
I think it helps when the student journalist regularly show up for events such as city council meetings, or you've started sending reporters regularly to the daily police briefing in Macomb.
Yeah.
People get to know who they are. They see they're serious, that they're showing up every day and not, you know, for example, a police briefing, not sleeping in and skipping that, but that they take it seriously. And I think that helps, too.
Yeah, it does. And we have someone covering city council every Monday in the Committee of the Whole meetings. We have people going to the county board meetings. We have people going to police briefings Monday through Friday. So that's important for them to be seen and for people to understand that they are doing something serious.
And I think that one of the other things that is at play here is that you know, with modern technology, there's a proliferation of propagandists and people who are trying to promote a certain point of view who call themselves journalists. And I think students are often lumped into that group.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you know, I think Jasmine, what you did where it's actually credentialed and there's somebody who can vouch for this person,
right,
and say that this is someone who is engaged in the act of journalism with a commitment to informing the community, that helps. You know, I think that journalism, it's one of those things where it's both a right and a responsibility. You know, I think that we have the right to a free press, but we also have a responsibility to it. And I think that as long as the student groups work towards, you know, with the guidance of faculty and faculty advisors, work toward that, they absolutely have to have that freedom of being able to be treated like any other journalist. And the fact that they're learning shouldn't restrict their access. It shouldn't restrict the ability to engage in the tools needed to inform people.
Jasmine, how do you deal with it if a reporter comes back, a student reporter comes back and says, you know, they were treated in some sort of way and not granted access or not granted an interview because they're a student? How do you follow up on that?
I've called the person in question that told them whatever they were told. And, you know, and people are not beyond threatening people as well. And I've had to call people and talk them down from being upset that someone even showed up to cover a story about their place of business and that kind of thing. And sometimes people are cooperative and sometimes they're not. But I do follow up with them. And then I have a talk with a student journalist about maybe what is a better tactic instead of just maybe showing up at their place of business, or were you properly dressed and that kind of thing. Sometimes people just see someone out there taking video of a place and they get upset or they get worried that what are you doing?
The legislation in Missouri sort of comes out of those protests last fall at the University of Missouri. You might have seen the video of student Tim Tai really being bullied and pushed by people who were at a demonstration. He met a lot of resistance while attempting to photograph these protests on Mizzou's campus last fall. And so, Jasmine, when you mentioned, reporters sometimes mm-hmm. being threatened. This is a perfect example, and I think many people have probably seen this video, so they can really understand what we're talking about here, some of the barriers that student journalists sometimes face. And of course, a regular journalist probably would have faced the same sort of thing in that situation, but certainly it's tough when you're new and you're trying to learn about being a journalist, and people are bullying you and pushing you around, and maybe you don't really understand what your rights are. And so sometimes it's easier to push a student around, and it's good that at least in Missouri they're talking about this, and hopefully will prevent this sort of thing from happening again.
Yeah, I think people sometimes try to take advantage of student journalists because they are so new to that business and maybe they don't know all of their rights. So they try to tell them, you can't videotape here. We had an instance where we were on the square out in public and on the sidewalk, and someone came up, a construction worker came up and said, you can't video us ripping out the median. And my videographer was taken aback by that. And he's like, well, you're in public, and I'm getting video of you guys ripping the media. Now, this is a story that we're going to cover on the newscast. And he just kept telling him over and over, well, you can't videotape us. And he eventually, he got his video and he got out of there. And we had a discussion about that. But it's odd. Sometimes you just come up with very odd situations. And I discuss that individually and in group settings and how to deal with those situations, because you're going to at some point. I think everyone at some point has had someone come up to them and tell them what they're not allowed to do, but indeed they are allowed to do.
Yeah, and not just student journalists, but I've seen examples. I've been told before, you can't record during this public meeting. Well, mm-hmm. yes, I can. It's a public meeting. And as long as I'm not being disruptive in what I'm doing and somehow disrupting the meeting, I can record a public meeting.
Well, and I think that the other part of this is that, students are often they're reticent to assert their rights. Sometimes they're not that well versed in explaining to people what they're doing. I've found working with student journalists that sometimes the lack of understanding is somebody thinks it's for a class project mm-hmm. and not actually for something that will be disseminated to the public. Not that that should really matter,
right.
But I think that if you make that clear, I think sometimes people understand. A lot of it is just making sure that everybody involved has the same level of understanding of what's going on and what the intent is. That smooths out most of the problems. But then you do also have to make sure that even though you're a student journalist, you may still have to educate someone who is in their 40s, 50s, or 60s mm-hmm. that's working on a construction crew that, no, I'm in my rights to stand here on the sidewalk and shoot video of somebody who's working on a median in public,
mm-hmm.
And that's part of it.
All right. Hey, with that, we have run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.